I've been introduced in several different ways in different parts of the world. One time, a preacher introduced me to his congregation. He said, Billy Kim is a model preacher. I didn't know what model meant, so I looked it up in the Korean dictionary. It says a small imitation of a real thing. And he went on to say he's not only a model preacher, but he's a warm preacher. And I didn't know what warm meant, so I looked it up in a Korean dictionary again. It says not so hot. It's a deep, distinct pleasure for me to be here with you. When Dr. Jones and Dr. Honeycutt, we've been corresponding back and forth, because I knew Dr. Honeycutt. I met him at the Baptist World Alliance and Executive Council meetings. But never had the privilege of meeting Dr. Jones until this morning. And I really like Dr. Jones because he's... I could relate to him. He's about my size. Long time ago, I have adopted Zacchaeus as my patron saint. And when I come to this country, and I deeply appreciate people with my size, and everybody like Dr. Honeycutt said, so big, like a giant, and I have to look up to him, and you know how that is. You probably never know some of us who are short and probably never had that feeling, but I really identify for Dr. Jones this morning, and I deeply appreciate meeting him and giving me this opportunity to share with you what's happening in Korea today. People have asked me many questions as I travel from place to place. Why Korea? That God is blessing and Korean church is exploding. If I told you in 1955 there were only 4,000 churches in all of Korea with 1 million Christians. 10 years later in 1965, that increased to 8,000, that's a double in 10 years, with 2 million Christians. Then in 1975, 10 years later, that increased double again with the 16,000 churches with 4.3 million Christians. 1985, Korea, and a double again, another 10 years, with somewhere beyond 32,000 to 35,000 churches with 10 million Christians. It doubled every 10 years since 1955. Korean Christian population grew four times faster than that of regular population. I think there's 15 new churches being built or erected every day in Korea today. The Presbyterian denomination began in Scotland, but the largest Presbyterian church today is not in Scotland, but it's in Seoul, Korea. Methodist denomination began in England, but the largest Methodist church today is not in England, but it's in Seoul, Korea. Assemblies of God denomination began here in this country. But the largest Assemblies of God church is not in the United States, but in Korea, with 500,000 membership in Seoul, Korea. Somebody asked me, what about Baptists? Well, we'll try to get there. You give us a little time. But why this phenomenon? Why is that Korean church has been exploding? Why Korean churches are experiencing revival today? I have tried to focus upon these five factors that, in my own opinion, that has brought Korean church into such an exploding and experiencing revival today. Korean church is marked as a praying church. I believe a prayer is the premise to revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we find, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I believe the Korean church have learned the secrets of prayer. And I believe the reason that God has been blessing, that Korean church is experiencing revival today, is simply the fact that we have learned the secrets of prayer. Martin Luther was not satisfied with the religious world in which he was born, and his deep need for personal piety caused him to spend much time in prayer, and result of that prayer, we see the Reformation coming to being. John Wesley, a son of an Anglican clergyman, was dissatisfied with the state of the Church of England at that time, and that caused him to pray much, and because of that deep prayer that God brought Methodism to England. Prevailing prayer brings perpetual power. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Moses prayed and sea opened up and became a superhighway. And Abraham prayed and God gave him a son when, humanly speaking, it was impossible. Joshua prayed, mighty city fell on his leadership. David prayed, God helped him slay giant Goliath. Elijah prayed and called down fire from heaven. Daniel prayed, he was saved from the lions. And Paul prayed, prison doors were shaken right off their hinges. John Knox prayed, Queen Mary trembled. Mueller prayed, and great orphanages were built and maintained. Roberts prayed, and Pentecost swept Wales. King Hezekiah prayed, and God spared him 15 more years of his life. And when Christian people began to pray, I believe God will send revival, not only to Korea, but to this great nation, the United States of America. Prayer does not need proof, it just needs practice. Today we organize instead of agonizing on our knees before God. Jesus spent much time in prayer before he entered his public ministry. He prayed long hours, or sometimes he prayed all night. And I believe the reason that Korean church is experiencing unusual revival is simply because Korean people have learned to pray. 365 days a year, every morning, 4:30, most of the Korean churches open for prayer meeting. They felt that it's not enough, so every Friday night, they have all-night prayer meeting. If I told you some of the Korean churches have double Wednesday night prayer service, would you believe it? They have learned the secrets of prayer, the power of prayer. And sometime I wonder, what fellow started that 4:30 morning prayer meeting? That's unsanctified hour to pray. When I get to heaven, I want to meet that gentleman. But I'm glad that somebody started. The least Korean church has been reaping the result of prayer that has been permeated and perpetual by the Christian people over there. I have learned the secrets of prayer, the power of prayer. Not at the halls of the seminaries or the Bible classes, though we learn all the theories and we realize we must pray, but at least when I got back to Korea, the people whom I was pastoring, they taught me the secrets of prayer. You see, prayer has tremendous power. During the Korean War at the 38th parallel back in early 50s, there's a place called Heartbreak Ridge. We didn't name that ridge a Heartbreak Ridge. It's an American war correspondent, the newspaper reporter, was covering that war. When he saw that particular ridge, so many American boys have died. They never returned home. Broken mother's heart, father's heart, wives and sweethearts' heart. So he called that ridge Heartbreak Ridge. This side of the ridge, the American trench, the foxhole. The other side of the ridge, the communist soldiers trenched their foxhole. They were exchanging the bullets back and forth. 50 yards from the American foxhole into the enemy's territory, there's a one young American soldier was hit by the enemy bullet. He lost too much blood. In their desperation, he was crying for help. They could hear from the American foxhole, but nobody dared to face the enemy bullet and rescue that dying soldier back to the foxhole until one young man, looking at his watch, when the 9 o'clock struck. Without saying a word, he crawled on his stomach 50 yards into the enemy's territory and rescued that dying man safely back to the foxhole. They gave him a first aid. Sergeant asked him a question. Why did you wait until 9 o'clock? Young man replied, "Sergeant, when I left home, my mother promised me she'll pray for me every morning at 9 o'clock. I know I'd be safe from the enemy bullet if I went at 9 o'clock.
What the America need today is a generation of young men and women willing to kneel by the beds I prayed all night that God may bring this great nation back to the fold of God. If my people, what you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I believe the second reason that Korean churches experience a revival today is because Korean church have learned the secrets of propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. The preaching, I believe, is the plan for revival. The professor Drummond sitting there, he knows all about revival. Who am I to, lecture here? But I do believe firmly the preaching is the plan for revival, the preaching of the Word of God. On November 22nd, 1963, man was shot to death in the streets of Dallas, Texas. News of that man heard around the world. In 2 hours, the whole world took notice of the tragic death of President John F. Kennedy. They knew who killed him. They knew how he was killed. It only took 2 hours. Yes, some 2,000 years ago, a man by the name of Jesus Christ was killed in the outside wall of Jerusalem, yet half of the world, after 2,000 years have gone by, have yet to hear the news of Savior's death on the cross of Calvary. What a paradox. In the launch pad of Cape Kennedy, you send your first man to the moon. Whole world stopped what they were doing in order that they could see that historic moment when first America will land on the moon. Korean government was gracious enough to prepare a 40-foot screen in downtown Seoul and Namsan Mountain. They declared a semi-national holiday in order that the school children could go watch that historic moment when first America would land on the moon. You ask anybody in the streets of Seoul today, who was that man? They tell it's Neil Armstrong. But you ask same people, who was the man when God sent chariot, he went in that chariot into heaven. They cannot tell you that's Prophet Elijah because they have never heard that story. That's a paradox. The Madison Square Garden, several years ago, there was a fight of the century was on, and that came via satellite to our part of the world, fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. I was walking downtown Seoul. I saw literally hundreds of people glue their eyes to the television sets. I asked one of the men, what's going on? He said, don't you know, there's a fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. I didn't have time to watch. That evening I came home, I asked our three children who won the fight. Mary Kay, she's at school here, she was a little girl. Said, Daddy, Joe Frazier won the fight. That evening I went out to a high school rally, spoke to 700 young people. I said, who won the fight today? They all raised their hand. They knew who won that fight. And I singled out the one young fellow. I said, you tell me who won the fight between the shepherd boy David and giant Goliath when the children of Israel were challenged by Philistines. He scratched his head. He didn't know who won that fight because he had never heard that story. That's a paradox. Paul told young Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The preaching of the word of God certainly brings a revival. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. He was a powerful preaching of the word of God by Jonathan Edwards that brought sweeping revival to New England in the early history of the America. It was a Peter's preaching of the word brought the 3,000 souls. The Paul said, we preach a Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greek foolishness, but to those who are called, both the Jews and Greek, it is Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The doctrines of Bible are holy. The precepts of the Bible are binding. The history of Bible is true. Its decisions are unchangeable. Christ is a grand subject and theme. Our good is its design. The glory of God is in. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice to be holy. The preaching of the Word of God has been manifested in Korean pulpits, including the Presbyterian churches. They preach Bible cover to cover, and I believe that's the reason that God honor and bring the revival into our country. The third reason I believe is Korean church has been marked as a purified church. We do have a set of problems. We do have our problems with the deacons in Baptist churches, and I guess elders in Presbyterian churches, we have our set of problems and the divisions and the jealousy and the bickering.
But by and large, a Korean church has been preserved, purified. I believe it was Charles Swindoll who said, Christianity is supremely the champion of purity. In 1 Peter 1:16, God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, the holiness often eclipsed by Christian activities. As I travel this country up and down, somehow the Christian standard has been lower. And God said, if we are to see revival, Christian, part of a Christian, there must be holy living. The holiness have to be exercised before God could send his revival to American churches today. Business for God or activity for God is good thing, but I don't believe it's the best thing. The holiness or the purity of our lives are important for revival. Activity never brought revival, but I believe it's soul searching, the holy living, I believe it brought great awakening down through the ages. I heard this story and I think it's fitting. I believe this story will certainly support what I'm saying. The purity is a path to revival. A deacon had a parrot. Only thing that parrot could say is, let's kiss. So every time somebody come visit at home to the front door, first thing the parrot said, let's kiss, let's kiss. And he got so embarrassed, but he found out the pastor had a parrot. The only thing that parrot could say was, let's pray, let's pray. Naturally, what else can pastor's parrot said? Except let's pray. So Deacon thought if he could put his parrot with the pastor's parrot, maybe it would have a good influence on the parrot that only thing could say, let's kiss. So they put it together. They smelled each other. They looked at each other. All of a sudden, the deacon's parrot said, let's kiss. The pastor's parrot said, thank God my prayer has been answered. You see, you put bad with the good doesn't make a good person, you know, bad person good. It's a holy living, the holiness of God, that God expects us to be holy and sanctified if we are to see revival in this generation. 96% of all Americans say they believe in God. 80% profess to be Christian in this country, yet families are splitting apart in record numbers. Countless unborn babies have been killed. There are 100 times more burglaries in so-called Christian America than so-called pagan Japan. We must be pure from idolatry. Exodus 20, verse 3 said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What is the American form of idolatry? Oh, what is American people's idol? I think if you let me sum it up, I think there's one word, the luxury. And I believe we must be pure from immorality. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us. I believe it was Ruth Graham who said, God has apologized to Sodom and Gomorrah for their sin and their immoralities. If God is going to let America get by without being punished. And all the sin and immorality, the pornography, the things going on in this country, if we are to see revival, we must be pure from immorality. Then we must be pure from worldliness. And 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of Father is not in him. Somehow the world has crept in into churches. We cannot hardly draw the line now, whether it's a church, whether it's a world, whether it's a sacred, whether it's a secular. And if we are to see revival, there must be pure from the worldliness. Dr. M.R. Dehan, in one of his excellent daily reading, gives some impressive figures demonstrating the truth of Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
He says sowing and reaping in a family of two men, Jonathan Edwards and Max Jukes, have recently come to his attention. Jonathan Edwards was a man of high culture, refinement, and Christian character. Out of his 1,394 descendants, 13 were college presidents, 65 professors, 60 were prominent lawyers, 32 were noted authors, 90 were physicians, and 200 were ministers of the gospel, and 300 were good farmers. On the other hand, Max Jukes was a notorious man. The life history of 903 of his descendants have been recorded. Of these, 300 were delinquents, 145 were confirmed drunkards, 90 were prostitutes, 285 had evil disease, and over 100 spent an average of 13 years in prison. It pays to be pure and live a holy and sanctified life if our ministry is going to be blessed and if our churches is going to see revival. The fourth reason I believe that Korean church is experiencing revival is a Korean church is marked as a praising church. I believe the praise is the priority to the revival. Psalm 119, 164 says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. In the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 117. The word hallelujah means praise the Lord. I believe it's recorded at least 600 times in the scripture. What signifies that our lives might be marked constantly praising the Lord all the day long, but somehow we have lost that truth. We come into place of complacency. We complain, we gripe. Somehow the heart of the praising God is not there. I have a friend. We named the nickname for him. His nickname is Hallelujah. His last name is Choi. So we call him Hallelujah Choi. He built the largest insurance building in Seoul, 63-story building. He's the head of the Soccer Federation League in Korea. We never had a professional soccer team. We always had amateur soccer team. But he decided to form a first professional soccer team. He didn't name that professional team like a Denver Bronco or Miami Dolphin or Lakers or whatever. You know, some of those names don't have much meaning. But he decided he'd name his soccer team Hallelujah. Have you ever heard a professional ball club called Hallelujah? I didn't think so. But he named it, his team, Hallelujah. Everybody thought he was crazy. Until that team went to Hong Kong, played with the national team of mainland of China, the communist Chinese team. They were playing. And we never have a diplomatic relationship with that country. The only thing they could is play sports there. And that game came live via satellite to Seoul. I was watching. The commentator of that game is not a Christian man, but I hear him say the Hallelujah team is driving the ball to the left wing and then left center, and then he going to drive Hallelujah, kick the goal, and Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. When the game was over, I said he must say at least 2,000 times about the Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. He didn't know what he was saying, but we know he was saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He built a church. He didn't call Presbyterian. He didn't call Baptist. He called the Hallelujah Church. So we have today now Hallelujah Barber Shop, Hallelujah Beauty Shop, Hallelujah Tailor Shop. We got a Hallelujah restaurant. Over there, everything's a Hallelujah now. We have learned to praise the Lord in some of the most adverse circumstances. 1983, Russian shut down Korean jumbo jet passenger line from New York via Anchorage to Seoul. 269 people went down. It was a tragic moment for Korean people. Month later, our president was taking four nation tour to southeastern country. When they went to Rangoon, Burma, our cabinet lined up for National Cemetery minutes before president came. The North Korean communists planned a bomb. Bomb exploded. 17 of our cabinet members was killed. When they came back on a draped the casket with a national flag,
When the funeral was there at the Yoido Plaza where Dr. Billy Graham had his crusade, it was televised. There isn't a dry eyes of that 40 million Korean people were weeping and crying. Yet 1983, I want you to know, Korean churches sold more hymn book than any other years put together. Why? Least we have learned to sing our sorrows away with the praising God. And I believe that's the reason that God has been blessing Korean church today. Let me conclude with the final point. I believe it was persecution. The Korean church has been marked as a persecuted church. And I believe that's the reason. The persecution is a prerequisite to revival. Chapter 8 of Book of Acts says, first, Saul made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, that they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. The persecuted church, that Korean church has been marked, and they came through those persecution. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of men and women have given their life on the Japanese regime, on the communist takeover. Yet we survived through those persecutions. And let me conclude with a story that happened during the Japanese occupation in 1919. Our church has been closed. Missionaries have been asked to leave the country by Japanese government. This little country church is 13 miles from where I live. It's a Methodist church tucked away by the rice paddy. No service been held there for a number of months because of Japanese police told they cannot hold the service. But one day, Japanese police told Korean pastor he could hold the service coming Sunday morning. He didn't ask why, how come. He was so thrilled. He invited the people. Some walked 12 kilometers, some 10, some 7. When they began to start a service, Korean people loved to sing. One of their favorite songs was, "Nearer My God to Thee, Nearer to Thee, Even Though It Be a Cross, Nearer My God to Thee." Japanese police locked the door from outside of that church, throw the gallons of kerosene, set the church on fire. When church began to burn, naturally men would break the window, try to escape. Squad of policemen standing all around that church with the guns, ready to shoot if anyone would jump out of there. They all stayed inside. Pastor asked them to sing one of the great hymns of the church. Alas, and then my Savior bleed, and then my sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a woman as I. Just before roof came down, they could feel that intensity of the heat. Smoke filled their eyes, and they began to sing the final stanza of that verse. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself, for it is all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. They all die there, but story doesn't end there. The group of Japanese pastors came after 1945. They all gone back to Japan. Later they came, and one of the Korean pastors showed them this particular site. They have a monument, engrave all the names of people who died on that Sunday morning fire. And when they heard the story, their hearts been challenged, been broken. They went back to Japan, raised the 10 million yen. It's about $25,000 in American money at that time. They want to build a church where their forefathers burned it down, so they build a beautiful white church. They dedicated that church 1971, September, final Sunday of September. I was invited to attend. Church was packed to the capacity. Sermon was given. Dedicatory prayer was offered. Citation passed out before the benediction. They were singing. Alas, and then my Savior bleed, and then my sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a woman as I. Japanese delegation was sitting over there. They stood up. They walked over there where the Korean delegation was sitting. They stood up. They embraced. They hugged. They cried for one another. They have forgiven, they have forgot, because that's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it is my prayer, the hollow halls of the Southern Seminary, that many of you will go into the regions beyond, carry this powerful gospel message, which will bring healing to those people who've been hurting for a long time. May God grant us a fresh vision, because where there is no vision, people perish. Thank you.